You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim
on LA Talk Radio, or maybe you're just picking us up on YouTube or replay, who knows. Today we're talking about sabotage in your relationship, whether that's sabotaging a relationship from getting better or sabotaging a relationship to end it.
And this is the way that we can explain today how you decide, keep going or break out.
So what is sabotage anyway?
I guess it's the way that I believe it's unconscious. It's something that people feel scared and maybe start to do auto sabotage.
Well, I wanted to actually talk about sabotage itself. And in the armed forces, I believe, the sabotage would be some player, some person who would do things that no one would know about. Like maybe they'd let the air out of the tire or put some chemical in a gas tank or do something to make a mission fail, to make, you know, maybe a company fail, steal information, sabotage an experiment.
Manipulate the information.
Just change things to make sure it fails. And whether that's conscious or unconscious, that's something we're going to talk about in relationships. Are you or someone you know trying to make that relationship fail or not be as successful as it should be? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. So one of the things in, I'm going to start here. We can start here. Which you want to start in? Okay, if you're going to start here, we're going to start with this book.
Okay.
We'll try to get in focus here. 90 Day Soulmate. That's the story of our show. That's the story of love. That's a book that we wrote, which you probably heard about already because we talk about it all the time. Because there's some really good golden nuggets in here of information. One of the chapters is on
sabotage. Yeah.
And it has to do with why we sabotage relationships. You want to start there?
Yes. What is the history that you have?
Oh, the history. So in it's actually kind of in both books, but in this book, While Victoria Dreams, there's a story of a relationship that Vincent has with
the wife.
His wife at the time. And the relationship just isn't going well. There's a lack of communication. There isn't a common goal. They don't really communicate well. You see, I said communication twice out of the three things that's not going well. They stay in different rooms. He sleeps on the couch. She sleeps in the bedroom. There's a lot of things that are going wrong in the relationship, but they can't have that honest discussion on what's wrong, what do we need to fix, how do we go about this. They don't want to have that discussion, or at least Vincent knows he doesn't, because somebody has the mind of Vincent and knows what's in it, where the other mind is not as well known because it's the other character. So whether that other character wants to continue or that other person in the relationship wants to continue, Vincent is not sure, but he's sure that the way things are going, the relationship is just not good. But instead of having that talk, that sit down, that conversation about where things are, what's wrong, how he feels, how they're acting together, he decides to what we call become a kamikaze pilot in the relationship.
Yeah.
And basically just take the whole thing down. he decides that he had lost his job, and because of that, he was working at a much lower pay scale, could not afford the budget of paying for the home,
the mortgage,
the food, the taxes of a nice area. So instead of trying to work out how that can be done between the couple, you know, could both get extra jobs, he decides he's just going to stop paying the mortgage, forcing the situation, basically taking the whole relationship down by removing the house that they live in and forcing them to move out.
And the way they can say, we need to separate.
We have to separate because
we don't have a home.
We don't have a home, and it's going to be much better if we get two smaller places because we really aren't keeping this home as a family. And that is how that relationship ends. So is that sabotage? Is it conscious sabotage? Is it giving up? How many times have you or someone you know done that? Someone you've known now or if known in the past. How often have you done that in a relationship? You just figure, I don't know.
Is it the history of one friend? She's married and she's a hard worker person, and she made more money than the husband. But she have bad relationship with the husband. And she have almost 3 or 4 years thinking and buy a new house, but she don't want to do because believe this is the way that maybe if she divorce in the future, the house has to division for two persons. So she stay stuck in the same small rental department and no move on because is scared to go to the next step. So sometimes you sabotage your progress, economic progress, because is your emotional relationship is more powerful.
So if you're having a bad relationship like that, and then you decide not going to buy the home, does the other person feel that there's something going on that just doesn't seem right?
Or maybe both live in one unconscious planet. They keep going, live, because the other way the people feel like the comfort zone. Like I don't want to change. I want to be in the same place and in the same routine. Maybe it's a toxic relationship, but it's the common way to live. It's the point that you don't feel good.
What you're used to doing, just keep doing what you're used to doing, even if it doesn't feel good, even if it's awkward, because it's what you know.
Yeah. You feel familiar with this ambient, this environment. So you believe this is good, this is love. Or maybe it's not.
If I took away the pain, I'd miss the pain. I'm so lonely, I don't have the pain. I talk about pain, the other person in the relationship or how you interact with the other person.
Yeah.
So where I was asking the question, say the relationship is just an unknown, a big question mark. When you decide, you know what, we're just going to stay in the apartment until we figure out what we're doing. And we don't say, let's buy this house together. Can the lack of commitment in a common goal together actually be part of what is hurting the relationship? So I'm not talking about this one specifically. I'm talking generally speaking. If there's two people that each lack commitment into the relationship and they both say, oh, no, we understand. We're not there yet. We just don't want to move on to owning something together, because what if something were to happen? Does that almost guarantee that there's going to be or have a high likelihood of there being a bad relationship in the future?
Could be.
But is that all the people know?
No, I guess it's most of this kind of sabotage behavior coming from unconscious, so the people don't know, have a lot of emotional feeling, like they say, like the turbine or whatever it is, the way they know the it's not clear, okay? Yeah. And then acting like the way is not stop and thinking what is the best way for both people. And also I call sabotage, or we call like the kamikaze, because sometimes the people hurt yourself try to hurt others.
So, and we talk about some, let's talk about overt overt sabotage in a relationship. If you are very depressed or not happy in a relationship, and so you stop caring so much, but you don't want to feel the pain of the breakup, and you really don't want to hurt them, but you don't want to stay with them, then maybe you start overtly doing some things. And we have some behaviors in here. Let me get to one. These are extremes. These are more where there are some people who may do this because the relationship just isn't where it is, or they're just doing this to themselves. But this is very well known. It's out there. People can see it. So one would be drug and alcohol abuse. I really don't care. If I'm going to stay in this relationship, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to go out drinking with my friends, by myself, stay at home and drink. I'm just going to do this because it's the only way I can put up with this relationship. But I'm going to put up with this relationship because I don't want to end it.
Yeah, and I hear some guy the other day, they say the addiction can be addiction and alcohol, or can be addiction a media, a technology, is the way that you avoid the reality. Uh-huh. So when you are in the bad relationship, you're looking for some kind of addiction. Can be is a temporary addiction, but you don't want to thinking what you have right now in your life, and you try to watch a video for 5-6 hours, or you maybe eating all food in the refrigerator because you feel like
that. What are you saying?
You feel this is the way that you are with yourself, and avoid the problem that you have. So watch up this kind of the red flag when you have in your own foresee something that try to avoid your reality and go to different topic.
So I want to change course for the moment, like I usually do.
Oh, really?
We're talking addiction, and you said maybe get on the phone or media. But here's a question. If today people are more in use of their phones at more times, and they're used to having outside connections through their phone, where their brain, and this is known, that their brain is basically part of a group. There's this group behavior going on. I'm in contact with 10 of my friends all the time. We're texting, we're posting, we're doing a little video here, we're doing an Instagram post, we're letting people know where we are. And I bet you it's not Instagram, because that's probably 50-year-old plus people's stuff, who knows. But that if there's a lot of social media where we're interacting socially at all times, mm-hmm. have relationships changed to, rather than two people being into an intimate relationship, is it now a crowd of people and a crowd of people being connected sometimes just by two people, but those two people always being somewhat connected with their crowd?
But also, you don't connect with yourself is the first connection.
You don't connect with yourself because you're always connecting out here.
So, and it's more difficult to connect with your partner, your boyfriend, girlfriend. So the basic part is you have to be aware. What are you looking for, or what is the problem that you have?
So today, is it true, and this may be true in the past as well, that we don't want to spend the time thinking in our own brain? We want to watch shows. We want to watch this show. We want to listen to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because I don't have to think about other things. I can just listen to these two talk about relationship things, and I don't have to. I know that sometimes I like just watching a TV show, because you don't have to think. You can just watch and be involved in some other emotional, exciting, fun, investigative TV show.
Yeah, but you need to have balance, so you cannot go to this and you feel bad when you coming back to the real routine life, because everybody have routine life.
You do, and then I go, who are you and what are you doing in my house? Oh, that's right, I married you 10 years ago. Have we not been together for 10 years? So addiction, whether it's alcohol, media, exercise. I like going to the gym 6 days a week, 4 hours a day, every day I go, because I'm addicted to that. And
this is the way that you escape your problem.
You escape. You don't have to deal with it.
What others you have?
I have many others. Okay. Self-harm. So there are people who will, and I know this well as well, cutting. If you've heard of cutting, some people will, you know, they'll just do little cuts on their arm or somewhere as a way to deal with some extreme emotional. So if there's an external emotional source that's bothering them, they may try to internalize it by hurting themselves, you know, harming themselves. And maybe you're creating that emotional issue in the other person. They're reacting by doing this other thing, but you all you see is the other thing. So some of this is being self-aware. Some of this you may say, oh my, you know what, I see myself doing a few things I don't want to do now. Maybe there is something going on that I'm not wanting to address. But the other part of this is being aware of others. Is someone in your life, are there other people in your life that may have a differing behavior, something that's come up recently that you think may be tied to some emotional turmoil that they're going through? Another one, unhealthy eating, binge eating, not eating, only eating ice cream, a lot of coffee, 12 cups of coffee a morning.
Maybe six.
Maybe six. Too much or too little, too much sugar, no sugar. I'm going to just eat fat. Now I'm just going to have fat for the next 12 weeks because I'm on this keto diet.
Maybe work.
Maybe knows? Work. Yeah. Look at all this weight I've lost.
Yeah.
And look how unhealthy I am.
Also lost a wife.
How to lose 150 pounds of fat. What?
Include my wife.
Cut off my head. Yeah. You heard that? I lost 35 pounds of... Oh, whatever.
Okay.
All right.
Keep going.
Emotional eating can cause a person to lose weight, get unhealthy, raise their blood pressure, feel sick. Self-pity. And I don't understand, like if somebody's, this could be one, is suddenly somebody starts writing a bunch of things on Facebook, or maybe they just talk to you, like you get a phone call from a friend and they're going, you know, my life is terrible, these things are no good, and you just hear a lot of self-pity. It's something that's now changed, and that type of behavior, the more self-pity. There's something called, and we'll talk about this later, which is called cognitive dissonance, where the words you use, the beliefs you have, the values you have, and the behaviors and actions that you exhibit all need to be in line with each other. And when they're not in align with each other, it causes this thing called cognitive dissonance, which is the difference between what our beliefs and mind thinks and feels versus what we do. So there's part of this where we'll get into the relationship, which is if we're in self-pity, we may be in self-pity even though we're in a good relationship. But because we're in self-pity, we're convincing ourselves that there's something wrong, that, you know, there's something wrong in our life, there's something wrong in our relationship, and you feel this stress of the actuality being different from what you believe, which is, we're going to get into that as an underlying cause of sabotage, but for a different reason in just a little bit. But self-pity is something that if you start seeing yourself complaining about, woe is me, I have this difficulty, things aren't going well, or you hear somebody saying these things, be careful that this is, it's great to know that this is real and someone feels this way, but it can be something that becomes almost an addictive behavior of telling people how bad things are. We need to watch that. We're going to talk a lot more about sabotage right after this message. Back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
So we were talking about sabotage. We were also talking about behaviors that were sabotaging type behaviors. Another one could be social isolation. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm. What is that?
Your friends invite you out and you say, no, I don't want to go out. Sabotaging your relationship could be you're with you're in a relationship and you're now isolating yourselves from others. You know, COVID did that. We mm-hmm. isolated ourselves. That put a lot of stress on relationships.
A lot of people divorce in this situation.
Because they're not used to that daily interaction with each other, not being part of social. So overly socially stimulated is a problem. And no social stimulation
is a problem.
Is a problem.
The balance.
So balance. So balanced living. Unnecessary spending. So going back to Vincent's
situation.
It wasn't that it was unnecessary spending, but the budget was, let's just say this was the budget, $8,300 out the door a month with an income of $3,900 coming in the door a month. There's just no way to make that budget work. And without looking at what spending in there is unnecessary. Certain things that are necessary would be shelter, food, and a car. Clothing optional.
Yeah.
But unnecessary spending would be, well, you know, life's short, so let's just go out to the fancy restaurant, spend the money we don't have.
Let me put in my credit card, so many apps. So many TV, like the different, you know, Hulu, Netflix, and then when you do all these Google.
So. You're doing $500 a month in multiple TV services, internet services, phone, and going,
and this is not necessary.
$6,000 a year in something that just goes
maybe
away.
Maybe you're not used.
Just remember, buns, butter and guns.
What is that?
Well, it's a theory, economic theory, where butter is you need, it's a sustenance, it's food, it's that daily thing that you need, it's a consumable, where a gun is something that exists to provide more. So you can go hunting with a gun, you can protect yourself with a gun, and you still have it tomorrow. So it's are you buying something that you're going to continue to have? It has nothing to do,
And no hablo inglés.
So, no, so I'm going to say there are things that we utilize daily, mm-hmm. like food. We have to have food. So that would be the butter part of the conversation. You need butter.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So, but there are other things that you're like, well, is there something that I need a light for the room. Okay. So that's like the gun part, that I need something that I can use daily. But there are other things that are like these virtual consumables, going back to the electronics, the subscriptions, the websites, the what are those called? The roaming charges on your phone. That those things you spend money on whether you use them or not, and they're consumables.
A lot of cable for yeah, internet.
They're consumables that are disappearing or dissipating, whether you use them or not, whether you enjoy them or not, they're gone.
Yeah.
Right? So some of that may be unnecessary. Take a look. Neglect of the self. You go months without shaving or bathing or getting a haircut.
You don't have a problem.
There's sabotaging of friendships and relationships beyond the internal one that you're having with your partner. So if you find your partner is sabotaging relationships that you have with other people, it's like that could be a sign that there's something wrong and that there's some underlying sabotage of the relationship. So the number one thing is to recognize and to consciously decide whether you want to keep sabotaging, because there's a reason for it, and you don't want to have that communication. If you remember our last show, we talked about people wanting other people to be honest with them if the relationship wasn't working out. And that's all. 90% of people wanted the other person to be honest with them. If there was something wrong with me, if like you didn't like my odor, if there was something you didn't like about me that was causing you not to want to be with me, 90% of people wanted the other person to tell them. Yet the majority of people would not say something to the other person. And I think we want open communication when it's with us, and sometimes we fear open communication when it's with the other person. Like if you have to give open communication, I think we're sometimes more fearful of hurting somebody than we are of being hurt.
Yeah.
So there's a piece in here. Let me see if I can find it or I can talk about it. We're talking about cognitive dissonance and why do we sabotage relationships?
Why?
Why, you ask?
Why
do we sabotage
relationships? I want to learn today.
There's a lot of different things. If we talk about programming in that we are biological entities that have been programmed from our childhood, from our birth, as well as the evolutionary psychology of the human being, that we have a lot of innate things built in us. I'm going to leave that part alone because that's nothing that we can change, and it's very hard for us to recognize what that is. What I'm going to focus on are the things we know about ourselves.
Okay.
We know about our families. We know about our past relationships. We know about things that have happened in our lives. And those things can be insightful in understanding why we may sabotage our own relationship. For instance, if our parents and their behaviors that we saw growing up were they stayed together. And remember, a lot of this is that in the past, parents tended to stay together more than they do today. Today, there's a lot more, I'll say, freedom of separation.
Mm-hmm.
But in the past, our parents may have stayed together and mom and dad may not have gotten along.
Yeah.
But we saw that and we said, that's love.
Mm-hmm. You need to stay, best of all, maybe. You know, feel good, but you need to stay.
You need to stay. And instead of working out them not getting along, they would just decide.
Avoid the problem.
Avoid it.
Not talking about.
Don't talk about it. Exactly.
Do like that. This is my dad.
But you can have two people that really love each other. They just don't communicate and they support each other fully 100%. And we can see those people staying together. And there may have been a cultural, a family, a background that said, this is what you do. But those are the things that when we see those things, we may have completely forgotten about these things now as we're adults
mm-hmm.
that impacted us when we were children, babies, growing up. We could have had somebody who loved us abuse us. We could have had someone who loved us hit us. We could have had someone who loved us leave us. We could have had someone who loved us die. And these things hurt us to the core. When our inner belief in the back of our mind that isn't on the tip of our mind, isn't sitting out there ready to come off our tongue as, oh, this is what's bothering me today. When those things of love equals pain are innate to us, are internalized, are part of our values and beliefs that we actually don't know. They're subconscious.
It's a sculpture, yeah.
And then we're in a relationship where we're starting to fall in love. We then say, oops, we're in love. That means these other things, hurt, pain, loss, abuse, that has to be part of it. And when we feel that, we feel uneasy, cognitive dissonance. Our thoughts, our emotions, our actions being different. We see this wonderful relationship, but there's a belief that a relationship means pain. Then we don't feel good in the relationship until our relationship has pain in it.
Because you don't feel familiar with this feeling.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, how do we break sabotage in a relationship?
That is a difficult process, but I guess one key is the observe yourself.
How about recognize? I'm mm-hmm. writing this down right now. Recognize,
mm-hmm.
which I think you call self-observation. Self-observation. part of breaking the cycle of sabotage is understanding what potentially could be creating the challenges, the cognitive dissonance in your relationships or in our relationships. What are the things in our past, whether it's your first love, whether it's your parents, whether it's a family member, whether it's a cousin, somebody who you really were close and something happened that broke your heart, that the relationship did not go the way it should have, and now that has impacted you. If that is brought to the front of your mind, and you can go, this is why I am feeling this way about this relationship. If that can be shared with your partner, that helps your partner recognize what you are recognizing and can help you both get through it and develop a deeper understanding of each other in the process.
That is a good plan.
Okay, that's it. We're done. No, we're not done. So these are things, like, think about these things. Some people think, I'm hearing it, like one of this cognitive dissonance stuff. I'm not good enough for this person I'm with. Oh, they're so much better than me. I think you've always heard people, it's not me. No, it's not you. It's not you. It's not me. Yeah. It's not you. It's me. And sometimes they believe it. Sometimes they say it because they don't want to hurt you. Sometimes they think it's the easy way out. But sometimes they really mean it. It's not you. It's me. And they're not willing to tell you why it's them. Why it's them. And maybe if they did tell you why it's them, you could understand that and you both could get through that together. I don't deserve to be happy. I don't deserve this relationship. There's so many people struggling out there. This is the most wonderful relationship I've ever had. This is unfair to society.
Yeah, that is another show completely, this topic.
Another topic.
Yeah, because I know these no dessert make a lot of activate the sabotage immediately, because you see any issue, your self-esteem is so low, and also it's unconscious. Yeah,
it is. So how about this one? All my relationships end badly. I know this one will. I know it's good now, but I know eventually it's going to be bad, so I might as well make it bad so I'm in control rather than a victim. I think that's happened to me before.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
300. Oh, well, that was you with the 300 relationships. But I think there's been a time where I think, the relationship's going well, but I know I've blown all these relationships, so obviously something's going to go wrong. You know, and you think about that as, how can people get along with each other? It's so difficult. And really, until I met you and your amazing way of dealing with me, a 2-year relationship, a 4-year relationship was the belief that's all I could sustain. So,
but the concept I told you, the love is interpret the emotion of the other person. Maybe this is a key. This is a good recommendation. Try to interpret the other person.
Tell me what you mean by interpret.
It is the way that you understand the other person. I understand how you think. I understand how you acting. How's your brain?
Ah.
And then in this way, I have to be flexible when we talk later the other show. About the way that I think in step by process, and you go back and forth, and one, this is your brain. This is the way that you acting, and I interpret that. And because I love you, I try to handle and make a team. But if I cannot interpret this, and I maybe feel like, he's disorganized, he not prepared the show, so I start to put problem versus understand.
Okay. I can understand that. Mm-hmm. I can also understand the piece of, and what we'd hit before, of if you do share what programmed you from birth to when you met. So you know how I grew up, you know my family, my parents, you know the schools I went to. I told you about some of my friends, you've met some,
mm-hmm.
that as you get to know more about what has programmed me, and you understand my behavior,
mm-hmm.
then you understand how I am, rather than I'm just a real weird oddity, like we all are, except you.
you,
and someone else. But we all have idiosyncrasies, individual personality traits that have been contoured over time by all the experiences that we've had in our lives. By sharing those experiences with our partner, they can start to understand why we are how we are. And sometimes understanding why we are how we are, they can put up with some of the behavior because they're expecting it, rather than going, why are they like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So that's that. Let's see what else we got here. Oh, so some of the trauma. So here's some of the trauma that can feed into why we sabotage perfectly good relationships. So here's some childhood things that may happen to us. Loss of trust with parents or caregivers. So it could be anything. It could be they told you they were going to take you on this wonderful vacation and just said, no, we're not going. And now you expect promises to be broken for the rest of your life. Especially the younger you are, when you take your parents' word as, like, your parents are God. You come into the world and here are these two entities. They can fully function and you can't even understand a word. And then you go, like, you make a noise, you're hungry, and they feed you, and then they lift you and you just levitate up. And so literally your parents are these amazing creatures. You don't recognize them as just, you know, just frail humans like the rest of us. And so there is that breaking of trust when they tell you that Santa isn't real.
Oh, really?
Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't know?
No.
Oh, the Easter Bunny is, though. I did see the Easter Bunny. However, we do have a fox in our backyard, and it just got the Easter Bunny. So no eggs, no chocolate for anyone this year. But so sometimes in those things, as I said, Santa and Easter Bunny, some of these things are probably not that traumatic, but abuse, a lie, a not getting something that happened to your parents, a parent dying, a sister or brother dying, these things can really impact your sense and cause something that you traumatizes you and affects and impacts the way you have relationships in the future. Some of it can lead to a fear of intimacy. I'm scared to become intimate. I'm scared to become vulnerable. I don't want to share. You know, if you live a lot in your mind, in your brain, and you're thinking, and you go, oh, when I become intimate, and I'm talking about now, say, sexually intimate, rather than just intimate in conversation, you may be afraid to lose that control with the other person. In that type of thing, you're afraid. Maybe they'll see you act in a certain way that you think is embarrassing, or they'll find it embarrassing, or, you know, so sometimes we fear that rather than being open to it. Because sometimes being open to it may lead to a new understanding and a new trust between two people that you wouldn't have had without allowing that vulnerability. Here's one other one. So some people fear being swamped by emotion.
What is that?
Swamped. Overwhelmed by emotion. I grew up in a family where my parents were very strict. By the way, I'm making this as a statement. This isn't my childhood. Maybe it is. But I grew up in a household where my parents never held me. They were very strict. They were very kind. There was never an argument. Never anyone cried. And again, never held me. When I graduated from high school, they never congratulated me. It was more of an expectation. Now I get into a relationship and Lizette wants to hug me and kiss me and she wants to hold my hand. And I'm like, what are you doing? There's this fear of being overwhelmed with emotion. And this was an emotion that I didn't grow up with. So that, for some people, a differential between what you think a relationship should be like or what you actually are programmed to have. If you've never swam, if your brain's never been in a goo of emotion and your heart and your body going, oh my gosh, this is, and it's now happening, you may go, I don't know what this is, and I'm uneasy. I don't want to have this feeling. I feel out of control. Testosterone, estrogen, dopamine kick in, and now I'm like, I feel weird.
Yeah.
And on the opposite end of things, terrified of being alone. So I get in a relationship and then you have to go away for a week of work in
Tennessee,
eating sugary barbecue baked beans.
Yes.
But you go to Tennessee for a week and I'm now alone. But as a child, I was never alone. I grew up in a family of 12. Brothers and sisters. We had a pig that lived in the house with us, that it was chaos all the time. And that's what I lived like. And now it's just Lizette and me in this house. And when she goes away, I'm just scared because I need someone around. So
I'm coming back the weekend for do the show.
So I told you I got a pig this week.
Oh, really? Yeah, is it in the basement?
Oink, oink. No, you... Do you smell that? No. Okay.
I believe it's you. Sorry.
No, that's fine. In any case, what we're going to do is when we come back on 90 Day Soulmate, we're going to talk about how to tackle self-sabotage in a relationship. And we're going to give you a couple of tips that we feel might be helpful. But we really enjoy this subject because I think everyone goes through this. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Tonight we're talking about sabotage. We're talking about how we can break up a good relationship, how we can create problems within a good relationship based upon our subconscious, how we can overtly and also covertly do things within the relationship, create behaviors in the relationship that start moving the relationship down a path of destruction. We talked in the past, a couple of minutes ago, we talked a little bit about sometimes we want to do that. We want to break up a relationship, but we don't want to be open and honest in the communication. So we use sabotage because we want that relationship to go off the rails and we want it to end. But if we are looking to have a good relationship, we need to recognize the subconscious sabotage that we have, address why we're having it, somehow figure out how to present and discuss it with our partner, and perhaps then have a better, deeper understanding of how we think, how we behave, how we communicate, and develop a deeper relationship with that other person. We've all had a breakup. At some point, it could be our first love or the first breakup that really hurt,
mm-hmm.
or a first breakup where you realize how much you hurt the other person. And at the time, you may not have realized how callous you were, but you recognized in their face how much you hurt them. Based upon that, you may not ever want to hurt somebody in that way. So instead, you want them to hate you so they'll leave you.
It's me. And,
mm-hmm.
Well, sabotage is making it obvious it's not them, but it's you, but not coming right out there and saying it, but by your actions doing it. And it could be on purpose, or it could be subconsciously where you don't know you're doing it, but you're doing it because that's how you were programmed before.
And also the high percent of the people believe if you break up, the fault is the other person. It's not my fault.
It's always the other person.
Yeah.
It's the third person in the room.
Yeah. And then I understand it's 50-50.
But going back is to communication with our partner. When Lizette and I first met, and even now a little bit, but initially then, is that Lizette's English is her second language.
I guess the people figured out.
And when we would communicate, we'd have to stop for a moment, make sure each of us actually understood the information we were trying to get across to each other. We tried not to assume that each actually understood what we were saying.
Yeah.
So not making an assumption on, one, what you think the other person is saying to you, or assuming that they are actually understanding what you're saying to them. And that is, I think, the number one biggest thing and biggest issue in all of communication. We share a language. And even if we share a language, 100%, Lizette's born in New Jersey, I'm born in New Jersey, we talk like we're from Jersey, and we communicate and we think anything I say, since I'm from Jersey, anything I say, she'll understand 100%. I couldn't be more wrong that the sharing of a language sometimes is the greatest detriment to actually understanding the other person. That if you didn't share the language and you had to really be clear that they understood exactly what you were saying, that almost sometimes can open up communication more.
And better connection.
And better connection. So if we could talk to our partners or the people that we know and think that even though we share the same words, that the way we use them and the definitions we each give them are much different than we each think they are, that we need to look at each person as speaking a different language, even if the words are the same.
I know. So for ironic comment, you know, when you have, I say, I talk to myself, okay, I need to speak in English. My Spanish is my first language, but I want to make some kind of ironic comment. And you thinking first. And you say, why are you wasting my time to do that and hear somebody? Because typical reaction for the partner is maybe I not say directly what is the problem, but I make a like the funny, ironic comment to hurt you. And then when we thinking before to say something, I guess this is the best way that you start to reduce, hurt the people and sabotage the relationship. Because the emotion, when you have some situation, your communication start to be ironic. Maybe it's you are really hurt the person, but you smile and you create a joke because you believe that you are so funny, but at the same time you start to hurt the person.
Yeah. You're not understanding me. You're not listening to me. Well, guess what? They aren't. They hear what you're saying, but they don't understand what you're trying to say. And that's the number one thing in communication.
What I do, best upon that I understand you, say it again.
Say it again.
Explain me what it means. And also in easy way, no, in an ironic way. So please explain me again. What is the point? And then you, what happened? You thinking.
I think, did I say something that was inappropriate? Did I say something to hurt Lizette? Did I say it not clearly enough? Let me restate it. And then it's my challenge to make sure I'm understood and that Lizette understands me. It's not up to her to understand me. It's up to me to make sure I'm understood. So communication, empathic communication, don't assume, and be self-observant in your behaviors that may be sabotage. The more you are able to reveal, the more you're able to communicate, the more you're able to address the trauma in your life that may create the sabotage in your relationships may lead to better relationships with your friends, your partners, and your family. Thank you for listening to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
And have a great week.
Bye.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lizette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.